Today I'm going to do something that I usually don't do. I'm going to start the class twice. I'll warn you in advance. The first start is the verse we're going to speak about today in of the Shikshastakam. And it's so significant that the Shikshastak, as Prabhupada would call it with Bengali pronunciation, Shikastak. Mahaprabhu was the greatest of scholars. Bhaktivinoda Thakur called him the mighty genius of Nadia. And yet, although he was such a great scholar, he left us only eight verses. But these eight verses have been expanded practically into unlimited literature because their meaning is so deep. The works of the Goswamis and their followers are all simply expansions of the Shikastak of Mahaprabhu's. So first let's recite the first verse. Chaito dharpanamajanam bhava mahadavagni navapanam Shreya karaiva chandrika vataranam vidyavaru jivanam Nandi buddhi vardhanam pratipatam punam rita sadhanam Savatmas param param vijayate si Krishna sankirtanam. So this verse of Mahaprabhu's describes param vijayate si Krishna sankirtanam, how the holy names become victorious over the material energy by awarding a soul seven wonderful benedictions which pull him from the material world, because the first one is the cleansing of the chetana or the chitta or the consciousness, which is now so covered by dirt. Dirt means material karma, material desires, unlimited, practically speaking, unlimited material desires stored in the consciousness. And in this life, from this huge bag of karma that we carry from birth to birth via the subtle body, in this life, we get one pinch, and that is our parabdha karma for this life. Filled with so many desires, we carry them from our previous lives, and as the seed of our life blossoms, those desires begin to manifest. Cleansed, and Shreya Karaiva Chandrika, by chanting the holy names, the white lotus of our good fortune, our spiritual life blossoms. So seven effects are there, and by these seven effects, the soul is transferred, we are transferred from the material energy to the spiritual energy, just by chanting Krishna's names. And the second verse, Nam Nam Akari Bahura Niva Sava Shaktis. The first verse establishes us on the position of Shraddha, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is the Bhakti Lata Beej. It is transcendental Shraddha. This is the Bhakti Lata Beej. So faith, because if I chant Hare Krishna, all good will occur. And then the second verse establishes us in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. It is our Bhajana Kriya verse, it is our verse of Bhajana Kriya, the proper performance of the bhajan, of the worship of the holy name by chanting the holy names. And the holy names is so kind because Bahuda Niva Sava Shaktis, Krishna has placed all his potency in the holy name. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name anywhere, everywhere. So that is Krishna's Bhagavan Mamapi. This is Krishna's mercy. But as they say, when you read the fine print, when it says free trip to America, and then there's little conditions apply. So there is one basic condition that applies to getting the result. And if we don't take advantage of that, that is durdhaivam. That's probably the word that everyone remembers. Unfortunateness. Durdhaivam idrisa ihananu januraga. I don't get a taste from chanting the holy names, which is truly this is true misfortune. And that is because of anartas. It is because sitting in the heart anartas, it is because of asatrishna, thirsting for the temporary. It is because of tattva vibrama, lacking proper guidance, shastric knowledge on how to proceed, lacking knowledge of who we are, who the Lord is, what the process is, and what should be done and what should not be done. And then finally, what is the fourth one? Aparad, yes, it's aparad. It is aparad. This pollutes the heart. Birth after birth after birth, we carry the results of offenses. We carry them. This is how serious it is to not offend devotees, especially exalted devotees, but especially all devotees. Otherwise, we have to say, well, this one's not so exalted, I can offend him this much. This one's very exalted, I shouldn't offend him. But this one's, oh, he's this new, I should offend him. I have this. No! Even Anya Nare, even ordinary living entities should be treated with respect. Prabhupada once told me that. I asked him how I should treat one of my godbrothers who was a sannyasi who had left the movement. And I asked him, how should I treat him? Because we were associates before. And his answer was, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant. So this is the process of bhajan. So after hearing Shraddha, Bhajana, Kriya, and after hearing of the process of chanting Hare Krishna properly to get the proper result, one would expect the next verse to describe the ecstasies, the blossoming of our good fortune. But instead, the next verse, the third verse, Trinadapi, let's all say it. Trinadapi suniche na tarodapi sihisnuna manina manadena kirtanya. So Trina means what? Grass. And Nietzsche, like we say, Nietzsche below. Lower. One should think of oneself lower than the grass in the street, the straw on the street, not even as low, but lower. And then, tarori va sihisnuna. Sihisnuna means tolerant, and taror is tree. One has to be as tolerant as a tree is tolerant. And then, amanina manadena, that one should not require or expect or or want in any way respect for oneself, but on the other hand, ready to give respect to everyone else. And then, in that state of mind, with that type of humility, then Kirtaniya Sada Hari, one can always chant Krishna's names. Now why, after the process of bhajan is explained in the second verse, the next verse describes humility? And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur notes that this verse, following the bhajana kriya verse, the second verse, is nishta. So why does the second verse, or the third verse, naturally follow the second verse? Humility following the attempt to do bhajan. Why? What is the relationship between humility and nishta? Fixedness, firm fixedness in Krishna consciousness. And then, hopefully we'll speak about the third verse, the fourth verse, just for one moment, and explain what the relationship between humility and ruchi is, taste. But mostly I would like to speak about Trinadapi Sunichena and its relationship to nishta, humility, and its relationship to nishta. This, my dear devotees, is the end of the beginning of the first class. Now we shall begin the second class, because I want to make my attempt to convince you of something, because usually before, I would like to convince you of something. Okay, now everyone think of, introspectively think, what person, who at the present time of your life is causing you the most trouble? Sorry for doing this to you in Varshana, but it's easier because I usually have a list of 20, so this one will just stick it as one. Who, think of the face of that person. Who's causing you the most trouble at the, and everyone has somebody who's causing them trouble at this particular time. Anxiety, difficulty, fear, anger. Who is it? Anyone need any help with this one? We can try to. Huh? Later it can be, but not yet. So, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita at the end of the seventh chapter, a very wonderful verse. The seventh chapter is one of the most intimate chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Icha Dvesha Samutena. Desire, hatred. I want, I don't want. Sankalpa, vikalpa. This is the nature of icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. This is the functioning of the mind. This is the functioning of the mind. I want, I don't want. This is going to make me happy, this is going to make me miserable. I will push that which is making me miserable away, dvesha, and those things that I want, the icha, bring them close to me. This is the functioning of the mind based on ahankar, false ego. This is the mind's function in relationship to a false sense of self. So Krishna explains, icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham. All living entities are born in the material world with this sargayante parantapa, and they are illusion. This specifically is the illusion of the living entity in the material world. I want, I don't want, based on false ego.
And the false ego means, very, very simply, the illusion that I am in the center of existence. This is that which is common to all living entities conditioned in the material world. In illusion is I am experiencing myself as the center of existence. And I am defining what is good and bad according to how I wish the universe should be ordered so that I, the center of the universe, can become happy and can control my little area of sense gratification, or if you're a powerful, foolish, conditioned soul, a bigger area of sense gratification. You can even control a country, a city, a country, or if you're pious enough, a universe, or if you're impious enough, like Hiranyakashipu, you can try to do it without being pious, without it being spiritually pious. This is the nature of false ego. Although we don't like to think of ourselves like this, but we all are somewhat like Hiranyakashipu. We would like to expand our universe as much as we possibly can and control it, Ishwaraham, aham bogi, siddaham, balama, so we can enjoy it. Siddaham. What does siddaham mean? Huh? I am perfect. Because first, Ishwaraham, I am the controller. Because without being a controller, aham bogi, you can't be the enjoyer. And without having a very, very tight, strong false ego, thinking I'm so perfect, how will you think everyone else is imperfect and use them as little characters in the great drama of existence which is centered around me? What happens when someone criticizes us, does something we don't like? We become angry at them because siddaham, like a snake kicked, bites. We're like, I am like that. So Krishna explains in the seventh chapter, this Icha Dvesha Samutena, this consciousness bewilders us. This is the sammoham. This is the bewilderment of the living entities. This false ego with the mind surrounding it, doing the work of the false ego. I want, I don't want, this is good for me, in false ego. You know, and this is bad, I hate, I friends, enemies, on and on and on like that. The whole life is spent like this. Now, this again is the functioning of the mind. And that person at the present that causes us more trouble than anyone else is only the mind. It is only the mind. Krishna directly explains this to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita when he tells the story of the Avanti Brahmana who was, raise your hand if you know that story, if you read it or know it. Yes. He was very, very wealthy, but such a miser. Such a miser. He wouldn't spend money even on his own sense gratification, on his family. He wouldn't religiously do puja. He wouldn't pay his taxes. And because of that, no one had any affection for him at all. And because of that, aha, Nokia ring gives the identity away of someone who shouldn't have their mobile phone on. So the Avanti Brahmana, as soon as someone is wealthy, everyone is plotting to get his wealth from him, because each I want that, because with wealth I can control, and with controlling I can enjoy. So the government, his piety ran out due to his miserliness. The demigods plotted against him, ruined him. The government sent the tax department and took away his wealth. His family members, bit by bit, got some until he had nothing. He was out on the street. This wealthy person was out on the street, so miserable because he had lost his wealth. And suddenly, by Krishna's arrangement, due to his previous good, his piety, he had a realization. He had a realization. In his misery, he had a very deep realization. It had two parts. The first part was, what is the cause of my misery? It is not my family members. It is not my, it is not the government. It is not the planets moving around. And it's not the planets at all. It is not anything. His conclusion was, there is only one cause of my misery, and it's not time. It is simply my wicked mind. E mana dur mati samsara bitore, Srila Bhaktivinoda says. This durmati, this wicked mind, has caused me to cycle in the world of samsara continuously, holding on, pushing away for all the wrong things based on false ego. And therefore, understanding that his mind was his only problem, his only enemy, the only cause of his distress, he reached another conclusion. There's an intermediary step, but he reached the conclusion, itansa staya paratmanishtam. I shall cross over the ocean of material existence by taking shelter, paratmanishtam, of the Lord. I have no other shelter. I'm not going to take shelter of my mind anymore. That's the missing ingredient there. I understand, I've accepted that my mind is the cause of my problems. It is not anything external. It is my mind. And therefore, I shall neglect the mind and take shelter of the Lord. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings a song. And this is one of the first songs that Srila Prabhupada taught us.
Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kota Nidraya O Maya, Pisachire Kole.
Lord Gauranga calls, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up. Wake up, sleeping souls. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya, bewildered by this durmati, wicked mind. I want, I don't want, this is going to make me happy. You came into this world, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, saying, O Lord, I certainly will worship you. But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance. Mahaprabhu says, but I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, who else is your friend? And I have brought the medicine, Oshut. I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya, to clean the mind, to fix it in its brokenness, to set it straight. I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now, beg for the Mahamantra and take it. Thakur Bhaktivinoda fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received the Mahamantra. Now we will put these two beginnings of the class together, Krishna willing. Because we know after hearing the first and second verses of the Shikshastakam, we know what to do to get the results of making our spiritual life blossom. We know what to do our bhajan. Then we become determined to sit down in Velasgar or in the temple room or anywhere in the world or in Ter Kadamba and just hear the holy names of Krishna because we know what to do. But then we meet our great enemy, and that is our minds. We meet the wicked mind again and again. We try to make it as simple as possible. We try to listen to one mantra, to one holy name. It doesn't sound very difficult, does it? But the mind will say, yes, 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 yes. Very easy. Let's do it. And then, oh, I wonder who's chanting nicely right now. I may be chanting better than anyone else. And what time is it? And what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? What time's prasadam? Oh, I just chanted so nicely. I actually listened to that round. I wonder if I could do it again. I wonder if I can do it 100 more times. And suddenly the, whew, it's gone. Oh yes, I have to remember and bring it back. And it's a fight. It's a continuous fight. Now, what the second verse has to do with the third verse, what durdaivam, and understanding how to perform bhajan has to do with humility and being fixed. Bhaktivinod Thakur hints at here what we just heard. What it has to do with humility is at some point we have to try our best. We have to try our best, and we'll speak about this in a moment. We have to do that fighting with the mind. We have to do it. There is no way around it. But at some point, we realize deeply, deeply, deeply that this fight is far beyond my control. I can't win this one. I'm losing. I'm going under. I can't chant. I have no taste. I'd rather be playing football or watching television or whatever, or just thinking or letting my mind travel all over the universe. That durdaivam, that misfortune, is not actually misfortune at all, quite mysteriously. It is consciousness, awareness of reality. It is misfortune in one sense, but we can turn, and this is one of the great arts of spiritual life, how to turn misfortune into fortune. And this third verse, Trinada Bisanichena, will teach us that. I want to read where Prabhupada tells us what to do and how to do it, and this will connect the points. This is a very early morning walk of Srila Prabhupada's in Stowe Lake in San Francisco, 1968. Very intimate dealings with Prabhupada in those days. I would love to have had a recording of this to play, but we don't, so we could hear Prabhupada's voice. So a devotee says, sometimes, well, if we sleep less, we could do more for Krishna. But at the same time, we'd be tired. I mean, you could regulate that, Prabhupada, yes. Practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasya yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Abhyasya yoga. Abhyasya yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So what was the question he's asking her to practice? Okay. Just notice also how the mind was wandering everywhere. This is the mind. Practice it. So this whole Krishna conscious movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles. I cannot even run 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys, they run on, they practice. Practice it. Strength of the heart increases by practice. If I run, Prabhupada says, my heart will be palpitating. So what's the issue here? Sleeping less, yes? Because I have no practice. So by practice, everything can be obtained. And then Prabhupada says, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. So this is somewhat what we were saying. We have to practice this controlling the mind. We have to practice listening to the Hare Krishna mantra. We have to practice struggling. And then there's a little break. And then Prabhupada, the next words that come in the transcript is determination. And this determination to practice in Krishna consciousness is increased by celibacy. Brahmacharya is recommended to keep oneself determined. A brahmachari, if he's determined something, he executes. He has got that strength of mind. Those who are too addicted to sex life, they cannot be determined. They cannot be fixed up. They are fluctuating, changing. People are, in modern day, they cannot sit down in a place for a long time. Therefore, so much traveling. The traveling business is very prosperous. Everyone wants to travel. They cannot be fixed up. So the process is recommended, karma, jnana, yoga, they're very valuable, but it is not possible to follow them in the present age because everything is reducing. Now here is, please listen carefully, because here begins the real point. So our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength. That's all. Otherwise, by regular practice, this age is very difficult, unfavorable. First thing, memory is very short, we cannot remember. Life is so short. Life is short at the same time, so much disturbed by anxiety, by disease, by natural disturbances, roga shokadi b. Short life. That is also disturbed by disease. And what word do you think Prabhupada uses next? Disease and? Lamentation. This is what happens with the mind all the time. Lamenting the past. Worrying about the future. Anxiety about the future. And lamenting about the past. This is 90% of our internal life. On a good day, every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Oh, Prabhupada says, roga shokadi b, and disease. This body is a breeding ground of all kinds of disease. Now everyone cough together now so we can make this point even more strongly. Life is short and it is so much disturbed. How is it possible to practice? Now, please double your listening capacity. Therefore, this one practice. Now, please listen very carefully here. And this explains exactly where humility comes in and nishtha comes in. And the verse. Therefore, this one practice, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice, and praying to Krishna. Please give me strength, Hare. O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. That's all. I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying. I am trying, but I am failing. All these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all-powerful. He can do anything. Even if we do not perform, trying our best, if we fail, Krishna will help us. Just like a child tries his best, but he falls down. The mother takes up and says, all right, come on, walk, like that. Another question comes up. Swamiji, is doing something other than chanting, like going to school and paying attention to what's there, if you're doing that so you can spread Krishna consciousness, is that just as good as chanting? And Prabhupada says, chanting is good everywhere. The question doesn't quite match the answer. Yes, yes, but I mean, if you can't chant all day, Prabhupada, if there is some inconvenience in chanting loudly, you can chant softly. Loudly, softly, within their mind you can chant. This simple practice, you give up all kinds of... The microphone rattles and we can't know what Prabhupada said next. But there's more. But sometimes in school, your mind has to be focused on what's going on their problems. And Prabhupada says, and this is the end, so please listen. Not sometimes. Practically, we are always disturbed. The medicine is there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm going to read the last two lines of that Jeev Jago song again. And please note two words in it. I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now beg for this Maha Mantra and take it. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur Acharya says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. And after begging for the holy name, he received the Maha Mantra. We should beg. We should take it. We should receive it. Now, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. What is the opposite of humility? Pride. And this is the consciousness of Kali Yuga. It is everyone in Kali Yuga is filled with pride. Even we become proud after we hear, oh, I'm supposed to be humble. Then we become proud of how humble we are. But then Krishna, I don't know if you've noticed this, Krishna will always send a little test or a big test just to, because we can make this show, I can make this show very nicely. But then when I get the little kick from something, from an unexpected place, then the serpent Burijan comes up and wants to bite. Who? Who does it want to bite? It wants to bite whoever it is, and it doesn't make any difference. Even Krishna's dearest. The serpent of pride, anger, envy, it will bite. Therefore, this part over here can be done mechanically. Trinadapi sinichena cannot be done mechanically. It is a very deep realization, and it is the doorway to bhakti. One has to understand that one is nothing more than an insignificant, inconsequential, weak, 1/10,000th the tip of a head of hair its size soul. Very hard to accept when you have a false ego. Now, I once had the experience in Vrindavan, I mentioned this before, so forgive me if you've heard it, that years ago I was looking at a picture, and it was something like that picture right over there of Krishna, but it was even more filled with cows. There were unlimited cows in the picture. And I started looking at it, and I thought, this is amazing. Krishna has unlimited servants. Unlimited billions and billions and billions of servants. And they want nothing other than to serve him. And then I thought, and all the top positions are filled. And then I thought, maybe I'm in the wrong movement. And then I got embarrassed. But really, that was my thought processes. Big false ego. So how to remove the big false ego? Very, very, very simple to say and very difficult to do. Become a servant, surrender. But just try to chant. Try to chant and listen to the holy names. If that is your desire, to chant and listen to the holy names, what will happen? Now, the example I like to use is, like, as I said, to understand what humility is and what we should do is very simple. And Prabhupada explains this about Krishna consciousness in general. It's very simple to understand, but very difficult to actually do. It is like, my consciousness is like having a room that hasn't been cleaned for 20 years. And just so much garbage and dust has accumulated, like someone who becomes a teenager for 20 years. That's what the consciousness is like. My consciousness, I will say. And then I think it's not so bad. It's not so bad because it's dark and I can't see. I can't see what's inside. So when there's no consciousness of what our consciousness is like most people, like you talk to most people and they don't have any trouble with their minds. Or, I mean, not most people nowadays, but people don't have trouble with their minds. Devotees are thinking, oh, I have so much trouble with them, my mind. I have so much trouble with my mind. Because they've turned on the light of their consciousness. They've walked into that room that hasn't been cleaned in millions of births. And suddenly, oh no, oh my God. The first element of consciousness, the first thing you become conscious of before you become conscious of Krishna is just what a mess and how dirty and filthy and disgusting and wretched the room of my consciousness is. That's the first thing we become conscious of. And that consciousness of that doesn't necessarily mean at all that we become humble. Now, this point, please listen to. Because there is something and Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned it in a different way not in yesterday's class, I think in the first class, he talked about the queens who had their suffering room. What was that? The lamentation room. And they'd go in there when their loose clothing, and it was big enough so that they could roll around on the ground and really be miserable. And Maharaj said that when most people come to him, they complain about this problem and that problem. And what did you say?
Luxury problems.
Luxury problems. Now, in the words of Carl Jung, he defined neurosis as insincere suffering, which is the same, more or less, as luxury problem. Insincere suffering. In the terms from the Bhurijan Samhita, he has another name for it, it is called self-indulgent neurosis. When all the time we're thinking about ourselves, and I have this problem and that problem, and me, 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 I'm so bad, and this problem and that problem and that problem, and lamenting about this and worrying about that, that is not humility, and that is not the recommendation of Mahaprabhu, and that is not the Krishna conscious result of turning on the light in our consciousness and seeing how dirty the room of my consciousness is. That is Maya in another form. It is nothing more than Maya. Now, how to turn the fact of turning on the light and to seeing that I'm hopeless, how to turn that into actual humility, which is the benefit. And it is so simple, easy to understand, and so difficult to do for non-devotees. And that simple thing is, oh Krishna, help me. I have no one other than you. That's just what Prabhupada said. To apply that principle in our life, in our holy names, chanting of the holy names. This is what he said. When we're trying to... He said, life is short, life is short. At the same time, so much disturbed by anxiety, disease. Short life. Every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Therefore, this one practice, chant Hare Krishna and hearing and praying to Krishna. Trinada pisa nichena, torora pisa hisnina, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. O Krishna, please give me strength. Hare. O energy of Krishna. Hare, Srimati Radharani. I am so fallen. I have no strength. I have no attachment to you. I have no taste for the holy names. But please accept me. That's all. I don't want anything else. I just wanted to be accepted by you. I am yours. I have no qualification. That means to actually be thinking about this, to actually be experiencing, I have no qualification, one has to have made the attempt naturally on one's own and realized, I can't do it. I have no qualification. I have no ability. And then quickly turn that from self-indulgent neurosis to humility through coding our chanting of the holy names with this mood. I have no strength. Please accept me. I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying. But I am failing. I am trying. But I am failing. Why isn't this a technique?
Because we are not in control of how Krishna is going to reciprocate with us. We can't say, I tried to pray, and then Krishna didn't make me be able to hear the holy names. He didn't get rid of the terrible, disgusting material desires which plague my consciousness continuously. He didn't make my mind. This is not what this verse is about. A technique to bring the result of getting the material part of our consciousness together. It's rather something completely different. It's about dissolving the subtle body. This is what Kapila Muni explains in the third canto, why bhakti yoga is the only yoga that works, because it dissolves the subtle body. It gets to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that I think that I'm the center of existence. I want the universe to be organized around me. I have Krishna bhule se jeev. I've turned my back on Krishna. I've turned my back on reality. That's the problem. And bhakti attacks the problem just there. Krishna, I am yours. Humility, giving up the pride of false ego and just accepting, Krishna, I am yours. Gotripte varanam tata. This, according to the Vaishnava Tantras, according to Jiva Goswami, of the six items of surrender, anakulyasya sankalpa patikulasya vajanam rachisya titti vishvasva gotripte varanam tata. This is the angi. This is the whole. And this means accepting Krishna as one's maintainer, protector, lord, master, placing oneself completely at his feet, at his mercy, or in his hands. And this is what separates being a devotee from being an aspiring devotee. Krishna, I am yours. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani describes the 26 qualities of a devotee. And he explains the purpose for describing them. Because it's in the frame of reference of avoiding Vaishnava Aparad. Because that will ruin our devotion, our chanting, our Krishna consciousness. So he explains that one of the 26 qualities of a devotee, there's mercifulness, there's poetic, clean, neat, this, everything, so many qualities, but there's one quality that is the sarup lakshana, the actual quality of a devotee, and everything else is tatastha lakshana, marginal. And that one is, he surrendered to Krishna. And that, because that is not always observable, because it's something internal. I can act externally as if I'm surrendered, as I'm very practiced at doing that. But internally, inside, I have my own agenda with me in the center. Labha puja pratishtadi yato upasakagan. The weeds have been watered. My whole devotional career. And I've learned how to imitate the externals of being a devotee. But I've missed the point. And the point is, Krishna, I'm yours. Srila Prabhupada, I am yours. That's the easy part. And the hard part is saying, now you can do with me as you like. And that is where terror enters the heart of a conditioned soul. O Lord, You can do with me as you like. There's one devotee, I'll mention her name, she's not here right now. She was Parvati Mataji. She was in Bombay years ago when the devotees were struggling so hard, and so many devotees, Maitihili Mataji, when the Gundas were coming to take Rasa Bihari, she was the pujari, and they were pulling her by the hair, and this is in India, off the altar, a young Western lady. How disgusting and disgraceful they were. So I was talking to Parvati, it was in a Bhagavatam class actually, I was talking to the devotees, and I said, and she was part of that, and the devotees, it's hard for us to understand how much, not only in India, but all over the world, how the austerities that the devotees perform to please Prabhupada, to start the Hare Krishna movement. It's hard to understand. Hard to understand. Especially you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir and there's the festival, and there's people there, and there's restaurants, everyone's sitting and eating veggie burgers or whatever, and there are chips and pizza, and enjoying life and looking wonderful deities, and oh yes, so everything is there. But the blood and sweat and tears that it took to build that temple, we cannot understand now. We cannot understand. So I said to Parvati in the class about Bombay, we were talking about the sacrifice and everything. So I said in the class, we were young, could you do that again, Parvati? And without one second hesitation, she said, in a moment, I would do it again. So we have our personal characteristics. We have our personal characteristics. And sometimes we irritate each other like that, and because that means someone touches our false ego in a way that me, the center of everyone should stop irritating me. And everyone should know exactly what it is that irritates me too, even though it may change from second to second, depending upon the whim of my mind and my mood. Everyone should be well aware of this, and everyone should organize their existence so I don't become irritated. So this is not... And then we become angry at someone who doesn't act that way, and we criticize them because that's what we do. Some nasty words come out of our mouth from our heart, because they've interfered with my false ego, and then I may have committed Vaishnava Bharat. Just like that. And it may carry from life to life to life. Just like that. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us very carefully about this point, describing the 26 qualities of a devotee. So Krishna so kindly organizes the universe in such a way that I don't know if you've noticed this, but it refuses to cooperate with me. I mean, I don't think it's fortunate most of the time, but this is the inescapable, unescapable fact. The universe simply refuses to... Put that light on! You know what I mean. How dare the electricity go off? So these qualities that this verse explains are the qualities of someone, Trinadapi Suni Trinaturodapi Sahisnina Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is the qualities of someone who has, to the core of his heart, reached the conclusion that I'm nothing but an insignificant servant of Krishna and Krishna's devotees and every living entity, practically speaking, in such an exalted state. And Krishna can do with me as he wants. Some plan must be there. Behind every difficulty, there is a plan by Krishna. I just recently read a letter from to Prabhupada
from Prabhupada to Tejas Prabhu, who really performed incredible austerities to start the Delhi temple and all over India. Prabhupada would use him. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. And at one point he became disturbed, it appears from the letter. It seemed like one of the people who, one of the devotees who he was given to work with wanted to beat him up or threatened him or something like that. And he wrote to Prabhupada that it was too much. And Prabhupada said, one should see that there is a plan of Krishna behind everything. And that Krishna is very kind and he will take care. And when we try to think like this, when we try to pray like this, just as Prabhupada is saying, what do we become confronted with? When we try to be sincere, the result is that we see how insincere we are. When we try to do this like a formula, we're confronted with our insincerity, our faithlessness, and all our material desires in opposition to Krishna, to being a servant. And those things, the awareness of that, of all, that is the turning on the light in the dirty room. And then, it's not a technique, then we have to deal with it. And how we're going to deal with it depends on each of us as individuals. Does it break our heart that we don't have a relationship with Krishna? Or we couldn't care less. And that, unfortunately, is the way my consciousness is most of the time. I just don't care. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, chapter 12, one must diligently complete the chanting of the daily prescribed number of names according to one's vow. But another kind of distraction occurs when one is too eager to complete the fixed number of holy names even at the sacrifice of quality. One must therefore always ensure that he chants his rounds. What word? Sincerely, O Krishna, please accept me. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Krishna, O Srimati Radharani, please allow me to serve you. Also, one should better improve the quality of his chanting rather than to try to increase his daily number of rounds for show. How many rounds have you chanted today, Prabhu? Therefore, Maharaj yesterday said, no one's going to ask you. Now, please, I'll read one more line and then really listen carefully. The name of the Lord should be always pronounced distinctly. Only, now please listen. Not that you weren't listening before, but please turn up the volume of your listening. Only by the grace of the Lord can this be achieved. Thus one should pray to the Lord that he never falls victim to the wiles of the illusion of distraction, and that he can continue to taste the full nectar of the holy name. The devotee should make it a regular practice to spend a little time alone in a quiet place and concentrate deeply on the holy name. He should utter and hear the name distinctly. Now please, if you haven't listened to anything, listen to this. It is impossible, in case you missed it, it is impossible for the jiva to single-handedly avoid and overcome the illusion of distraction. I asked you to try, but it's impossible to succeed by our own power. By the mercy of the Lord, however, this can be accomplished with ease. Therefore, it is essential. What does essential mean? Must 100% necessary. Another meaning of essential.
crucial.
What?
The heart of something.
Yes, the sar in Hindi, Sanskrit. The essence. It is the essence, essential. The essence of is to prayerfully beg for the Lord's grace with great humility. For this is the only means to salvation from the offense of inattentive chanting. This Harinam Chintamani is a conversation between Mahaprabhu and Thakur Haridas. So when Mahaprabhu said that, Thakur Haridas said, "Oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are an ocean of compassion. I wholeheartedly beg you for your mercy. Indeed, if I was unable to pray to you in this way, then no one would be more unfortunate than I." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes this chapter by saying, "Those who attempt to take up devotional service on the merits of their individual intelligence and mental expertise will find all of their endeavors fruitless. Lord Krishna's mercy is the prime cause of all successful work, and one who does not aspire to obtain the Lord's mercy is indeed an unfortunate soul." Just two more things I would like to read. One is the relationship between our endeavor and Krishna's mercy, because I would like to make the point that without our attempt, even though we're completely dependent on Krishna's mercy, without our attempt, in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, parishram, our work, Krishna has no reason, no tendency to give us his mercy. We have to try our best. Damodar pastime. Mother Yasoda has tried to bind up Krishna. She's chasing him. And no matter how hard she tries to capture Krishna and tie him with ropes, after acquiring all the ropes in the village, it's always two fingers too short. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says in his comment, this is the words of Mother Yasoda. Oh no, all the gopis, all elderly gopis who are watching Mother Yasoda's attempt. "As you cannot bind Krishna, even with all the ropes in the house, then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. He should not be bound. Listen, Yasoda, give up this attempt." Mother Yasoda. "Although the village women advised in this way, Yasoda was determined. Even if evening comes, and even if I tie together all the ropes in the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of the size of my son's waist." Yasoda wanted to teach a lesson to her son. In her persistence, she would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord. So Krishna didn't want to be bound, and he was expanding his vibhuti shakti, his shakti, potency of opulence, to make himself unbindable. And Mother Yasoda wanted to bind him. In the competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee's determination always prevails. Thus, seeing his mother's fatigue, Krishna gave up his own persistence and became merciful and allowed himself to be tied. Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king of all of his potencies and it illuminates all others, it melts the heart of the Lord and turns his heart into butter. The appearance of Krishna's mercy made his satyasankalpa shakti, which means he can do whatever he wants, and his vibhuti shakti immediately disappear. The distance of two fingers was filled by the devotee's effort and hard work and the Lord's causeless mercy. The bhakta nishta, the firm faith of the devotee,
seen in his tireless endeavor to serve and worship the Lord, and the swanishta, the steady quality in the Lord, which brings forth his mercy upon seeing the devotee's effort and fatigue cause Krishna to be bound. In the absence of these two, the devotee's hard work and Krishna's mercy, the rope will remain two fingers too short. But when bhaktanishta and swanishta are present, the Lord can be bound. In this pastime, Krishna showed Yashoda and the whole world that only love can bind the Supreme Lord. To end, just a few quotations on chanting japa from Srila Prabhupada. This is a letter to Kirtananda Swami, 1971. And Prabhupada's basically paraphrasing. There are two quotations I'll read. This is one. He's paraphrasing. Gaya Gora Madhushare. Gaya Gora Chandra Madhushare. Lord Gora Chandra is singing in a sweet voice, singing very sweetly the Maha Mantra. He's asking everyone, whether a householder or in the renounced order of life, to chant always the Maha Mantra. Either in distress or happiness, never forget chanting this Maha Mantra. Make this practice how to continue this chanting always. Gradually we are losing the duration of our life, and if we don't take the opportunity of worshipping the Lord of the senses, Krishna, then we are simply wasting our time. Now we are fully conscious. Let us now chant loudly with the holy names of Radha Madhava. Being entrapped in the network of illusory maya, we are simply engaged in false duties. Therefore, it is the good advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that everyone should become mad after chanting the Maha Mantra, and he is requesting everyone to do so. For purification, another letter, we need concern ourselves with no other teachings than those of Lord Chaitanya, and what he taught. And what he taught was that in this age of Kali, there is no other way to achieve God realization than by chanting the Hare Krishna, the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Your sincerity and desire for doing some service for Krishna is very much encouraging to me. Please go on chanting nicely and steadily. Chanting 16 rounds is prescribed, but you can chant more rounds and hear them very attentively. And this final quotation that I'll read is from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a letter that he wrote. And please listen to it, because there is some relevance to the place we are going to visit today, Terkadamba. And when you walk into Terkadamba, into the presence of Srila Rupa Goswami, you will feel you are home. So this is a letter from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And please remember it for our time in Terkadamba. Sriman Mahaprabhu gave all his powers to Rupa Goswami. So pray to Sri Rupa and his followers and beg them to bestow Mahaprabhu's mercy upon you. You should especially pray to the personified name to make you worthy of serving him. Through the Lord's name, the Lord of the name, Nama Prabhu, will take up residence in your heart. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So, I've already spoken longer than I was supposed to. So why don't we take prasadam, and then as quickly as four wheels will carry us, we shall go over the bumpy road of our mind to Terkadamba and go home in that way.
Well spoken, well spoken.